Thank you very much. Your Excellency, Ambassador of Rwanda to France, Permanent Delegate of Rwanda to UNESCO, dear François Colleguim in Forain, Your Excellency, President Ibuka France of Ibuka France, dear Marcel Kabanda, dear survivors and witnesses of the genocide against the Tutsi in Rwanda, thank you for sharing your testimonies and experiences with us today. Dear representatives of memorial institutions, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, all protocol observed. We gather today in humility before that night. There is a Rwandan saying that says, only the one who has gone through the night can tell it. I would like first to pay tribute to the survivors who are here with us today. 32 years have passed since the 7th of April in 1994, yet time does not diminish what happened. It does not lessen your grief, it does not erase the wounds you carry, nor does it reduce the responsibility that falls on all of us gathered here today to keep this memory alive. Over 100 days of absolute nightmare, more than 1 million people were murdered. Men, women, and children were persecuted by their neighbors and sentenced to death because they were Tutsi. Moderate Hutu and Twa were also killed. Countless families and lives were destroyed and marked for life. A social fabric was torn apart. A country was wounded in its deepest bonds. Lives were taken with unimaginable brutality. The pain and horror of those days remain etched in the memory of survivors and in the conscience of humanity, of all of us. The violence did not come from afar. It unfolded in villages, on hills, in places of refuge, homes, schools, and churches where one should feel safe. No place was spared. It was carried out in proximity by those who were known many times. Neighbors turned against neighbors. The fabric of society itself was torn apart. Among these crimes, women and girls were subjected to sexual violence on a massive scale. As the international community came, belatedly, very late, to recognize in 1998, and in 1998, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda became the first international court to rule that rape and sexual violence constitute in itself acts of genocide. That recognition later translated into Security Council Resolution 1325 and following resolutions on women, peace and security and on conflict-related sexual violence. Remembrance also requires that we speak clearly about what happened. Because the genocide against the Tutsi did not erupt suddenly, the seeds of hatred grew over decades. As early as 1964, a UNESCO international civil servant on assignment as a teacher in Butare tried to raise the alarm. He warned against the climate of anti-Tutsi violence already spreading across the country. His warnings went unheard. Also, the UN failed its task. It failed to protect. That too is part of the history we must face. We know that genocide is never accidental. It is an intellectual construction that begins long before the killings start. It begins with words, when hatred is normalized, when human beings are reduced to labels and defined in their humanity, when neighbors are portrayed as enemies. We also know that the deliberate dehumanization of the Tutsi did not remain confined to political speeches or radio broadcasts. It permeated institutions, reaching even into schools. And that is why education matters so deeply. If hatred, prejudice, and racism can be taught, then also, and we have to remember that, respect for others, appreciation of diversity, and the possibility of living together despite our presumed identities can be taught as well, and it must be. This is the meaning of UNESCO's mission. Our constitution reminds us that since wars begin in the minds of women and men, it is in the minds of women and men that the defenses of peace must also be constructed. The genocide against the Tutsi gives that conviction its most demanding meaning. And with that conviction comes a responsibility to transmit history rigorously, to listen to survivors, to confront denial, distortion, and all attempts to relativize the genocide, and to help younger generations understand not only what happened, but how it became possible for people to kill their neighbors in mass attacks. This is why UNESCO has made education about genocide and other violent pasts a core priority. And this is why our partnership, Why Rwanda, is so important and cherished. The cooperation rests on the recognition of memorial sites as places of universal significance. In 2023, the memorial sites of Niamata, Murambi, Gisozi, and Bisesero were inscribed on UNESCO's World Heritage List. That inscription affirmed a simple but essential truth on what happened in Rwanda. What happened in Rwanda concerns us all and remains a stain on the conscience of the international community. These are not only national sites of mourning, these are places of vigilance and teaching to the world. UNESCO is also working with Rwanda to strengthen the educational role of these sites. Through our joint program with the Rwandan authorities, we're helping to develop educational materials and place-based learning approaches linked to the history of the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi. We're also supporting the training of teachers and memorial site educators so that this history can be taught with accuracy, sensitivity, and responsibility. This work depends on dialogue. At memorial sites, support is being provided for exchanges between survivors, communities, and younger generations with approaches that take trauma into account and protect the dignity of those who have the courage to speak. And I take this opportunity to commend the work of Ibuka France, dear Mr. Marcel Kabanda, who we heard and met, in upholding the voices of the survivors and supporting them for justice, reparation, and healing. Rwanda's experience also contributes to a broader international effort led by UNESCO to help countries address violent past through education. Since 2015, we have been supporting 30 countries, including Rwanda, in teaching violent pasts with rigor and care through curriculums, through curriculum work, teacher training, policy guidance, and international exchange. Educational efforts, however, need to rest on a foundation of reparatory justice. We have to have both. And with a permanent representative of Rwanda to UNESCO, we are convening a roundtable on the 14th of April at UNESCO headquarters to reflect on the role of the memorial sites in Rwanda as spaces for collective engagement. And I would like to thank the institutions of Rwanda, as well as all of our partners, for the trust, commitment, and sensitivity with which they carry this work forward. Ladies and gentlemen, in a world marked by the upsurge of hate speech, disinformation, identity manipulation, and violence against civilians, we hear about it every day, the lessons of Rwanda speak directly to our present, our responsibility, and our conscience. They tell us to listen earlier and to recognize the warning signs sooner. They tell us that institutions matter, that language matters, that education matters. And they tell us that peace rests on memory. It must be built on truth, trust, and knowledge. I would like to conclude with the words of Ms. Uyisenga, a survivor. In 2008, as part of a commemoration of the genocide, she shared this testimony. History has a tendency to repeat itself. Do not let it. In remembering me, you remember all those innocent victims. To move forward and forget what happened is to forget me. Let us prove worthy of her words. Thank you so much.